of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. All three of us are here tonight. That's right. I am one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. I am the host of this podcast along with my friends here. You can check me out also where I am the Gorilla FC president, the Alliance Council president, and the communications director of the Independent Supporters Council. But my co-hosts here are the special ones today. That's right. We have your 2024 Fall Pub League champions.
Woo! Not quite champions.
No, you won the shield. You're the
shield.
I'm a
depends
Euro
on what
snob.
Depends on what your thoughts on what's more important, the shield or the cup.
Yeah, I'm a Euro snob for this portion of the show. Once we get past it, I'm going back to being the playoffs matter more. But Nicholas Biela and Aaron Langley, what does it feel like to be shield holders?
Feels great. I mean, honestly, we have a really awesome team where we're just gelling well and passing very good. What's crazy is our number. Yeah. We've scored 8 set piece goals in 14 games, 16 games.
That's a public record. It has to be.
12 games.
I went to the car. Yeah. Maybe halfway through the game, and you were down 2-0, mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, they're going to be so bummed." And then come back afterwards because it was pouring rain, so I come back. Oh, you won 3-2, and you won the shield. I was like, "What? What just happened?"
It was awesome.
Yeah,
man.
We had a great team. You know what's really fun though about the team being, you know, just for a quick moment, is we get contributions from all across the team. What's crazy is our number one draft pick has not played a single game with us. He unfortunately had to undergo surgery the day before the season started. And he is known as being a really great passer. So Harry, get well soon. We hope you're, we're looking forward to having you back on the field. But I can't even imagine what this team would look like with him passing.
It would be dominant. It would be dominant, yeah, and I think we should cheers to that. I got my vitamin R, my Rainier beer, all 6 beers, playoff edition, so I might drink them all. Nick, what are you drinking?
At this moment, I'm drinking Ruben's Crikey IPA. This is my...
We should do it all at the same time.
Maybe 5th beer today. I've been traveling, so, you know, when you travel day, you just drink whenever you want.
And maybe you'll talk a lot.
Oh, I am pretty shy.
He doesn't need alcohol.
I'm shy.
That's the joke. Let's all crack at the same time. Cameron, what non-alcoholic beverage are you drinking?
7-Up cherry soda, zero sugar.
Ooh, that sounds good. All right. 1, 2, 3, go. Not quite synchronized, but it still sounded well. Sounded well. That didn't work. Sounded good.
All right. Mm-mm-mm.
Real quick, well, I am going to throw to you in a second, Aaron, to make a very important announcement. But before we get to that, I just want to give a shout out to the Battered MLS Fans podcast at Battered MLS Fans. I appeared on there earlier tonight live talking about the Western Conference second leg with some friends from Minnesota, LA, and Vancouver. And the host is from Miami. So went on there, talked about the Sounders, talked about this podcast. So hopefully we got a few more listeners from around the country now.
Awesome. What? Where's my invite? Where's Nick's invite?
We need
more clout.
They need one Seattle person.
They've listened to the show. They're like, 3 is too many.
That's why. Because they listened to the show. That's why.
If we were talking only Seattle, then I think we could have done that. But it was one person for each team.
Fair enough. Cool. Yeah. So I'll take the wheel here for a second. As our listeners of longtime listeners know, we've started a Discord, I think last year. Was it last year or the year before? I forget. And I was just actually thumbing through the main channel, which is kind of just like the open forum channel. Drop whatever you want there throughout the week, through any time of day, or during the match. And I was just, it warmed my heart to see how many of our Discord members were during the game just joining in conversation. And I think that's really awesome. That's kind of, that was the whole point. I mean, the genesis of this podcast, like, damn, 7 years ago. Again, longtime listeners, you remember probably Tor. And if you listen to all the way to the end of the show, you'll hear Tor talking to Alexa. But anyway, it started in a bar, just us talking and drinking a beer. And I was like, let's just effing record this. And that's where Scuttlebutt came from. So Discord is like an extension of that. Like we use your questions, your comments that you want to have on the show in the mailbag channel, and we bring them up on the show. So if you're a new listener, jump on the Discord, the link's in the show description. During the match, after, before, throughout the week, there's always people talking. So there's some really fun links and fun conversations in there. So join the Discord. And also on that note, we are making a push. Cameron, I listened to your promo that you did for the show after the show when I was editing. Well done.
Thank you.
Patreon. We want to be the KEXP of Sounders Podcasts. We are powered by you.
Yep.
So that would really, really help us. I was able to take some interviews that you did, Cameron, last year. They're one-offs. They will stand the test of time. They had nothing to do with any single match. And we're going to start adding shows like that to the Patreon membership. So if you join the supporters section for $1.74, you'll get some exclusive shows every once in a while.
At least once a month. And you know what? I was thinking about it. I bet you like Nick and I could just get on there and talk music for an hour and put it up as a special episode.
There's that Alliance Council. If we did like a monthly kind of roundup of what's going on in Alliance Council that you can talk about maybe, or it's like maybe what's happened. That's just an idea. But since you guys are leadership in there, right? So Pub League stuff, maybe we could have end of season with some of the admins from Pub League. It's just stuff that isn't maybe Sounders specific is what we're going to put on there, but we want to keep adding more for you guys. But that would certainly help us run the show.
Interviews in the works that are Sounders related that'll be exclusive,
but that also ties into what you're talking about is sitting around at a bar drinking beers with friends and just talking. It's not going to always necessarily be nothing but hardcore soccer. It'll obviously predominantly be that, but you know, we have a wide range of interests.
Yeah. So anyway, join Patreon, help the show out. And hey, if you are a business owner and you're a listener of the show and you want to be a kit sponsor, it's my seedling idea of having maybe a sponsor for the show that can help.
Heck, if you're a beer company, we'll drink your beers on the show.
Oh, hell yeah. And the point is, we'll mention you. We'll put a little, you know, blurb in every episode. So if you want to get your name out on some ROI from the Sounders fan base, consider being a kit sponsor. You can email content at Scuttlebutt Productions. That is going to be repeated by our stadium announcer, James Willard, as well. So you can email that. I'll get it. And that'd be kind of cool. But I want it to be, we're not going to do like what I did last year with that damn clothing company. This is going to be sponsors that are, what?
Would have been cool, but it didn't work out.
It would have been cool. And, you know, my intent was to have, you know, I actually liked that company. You know, they were for the environment, water related, yada, 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 whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Help support the show, join the Discord, join Patreon, and remember to subscribe on your platform of choice, because downloads are the stats in the podcast world. If you just listen and don't download,
adding that download sound. It's perfectly.
Yeah, funny.
That was interesting.
I hit my what do you call those where you have the buttons and you press it? Elgato Stream Deck. I have a question for you, Aaron.
Okay.
Does your not watching sports or talking about sports because you haven't watched it extend to the World Series?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I know. What I've been doing is watching yesterday's game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what I've been doing now is putting it on my phone.
So you're up to date through game four. Through game four, you're up to date.
So you know about the dumbass Yankee fans who grabbed Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys should be banned from baseball forever.
I think they were allowed back in today.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. I can't believe. I mean, of course they are, because Yankees fans throw batteries at people. They're just awful.
Isn't that Philly fans?
I don't know. Batteries at Santa.
Yeah, I don't think that was Phillies fans. That was Eagles fans that did that. But
no, I think he meant Philly as in the city, not Philadelphia. Philly as in the
I think he said Philly.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
I thought he said Phillies.
Well, he probably did. No. Said Phillies apostrophe S fans.
Yeah,
Phillies
fans. Not IES.
Philadelphia's.
But no. Yankees fans are notorious for, I mean, like if you're a Mariners fan there, they're throwing batteries at other fans and at other players. It's a horrible place. Yep.
Yeah, so sorry. Let's.
We won't talk really about that about. Then.
We got a lot to talk about anyway. Obviously, we just had a playoff match.
I don't know if we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, well, we do. Playoff match that just happened on Monday night. Next one's on Sunday against Houston, 0-0. And we won on PKs. Perfect.
You're going to get the Euro snobs angry that you just said PKs instead of penalties.
Well, okay. They can get mad at me. Jump on our Discord and tell me how mad you are.
Yeah. Let's. Is there any other scuttlebutt that's not Sounders related before we get over there? And I mean, we got a lot to talk about this game and the upcoming game, I think. But there's probably some stuff out there in the world that exists before yesterday. I know we got an election coming up, so a lot of people are anxious. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're not really checking the news.
Yeah, I'm just gonna read through the Discord, which is all Sounders related. So if you got anything, I will take the.
I mean, I guess we can talk about the home team won every round until yesterday in the MLS when both road teams won game one with Minnesota beating RSL in penalties and Red Bull New York. The New York Red Bulls beating Columbus in penalties.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at the bracket. Lots of shutouts.
Yeah.
Lots of shutouts, low scoring games, except for two. Most notably, I mean, there's LA and Colorado. We knew that one was one of the first matches, I think. But Vancouver's quote unquote home match was a success.
Yep.
5-0.
Never win. I said that tonight on that other podcast. I said, you know what? I've already won my championship thanks to Vancouver. It doesn't even matter what the Sounders do from now on. It's just gravy.
Yeah, there's a funny quote that I think, I'm pretty sure it's Tim in our Scuttlebutt main channel. Let me just make sure. No, it was Alex Diaz.
Shout out, Alex.
Tim's just usually every other post. But Alex Diaz did a link to Instagram, and I opened it up. And here's a quote from Phil Neville. God is a Timbers fan. Phil Neville on the Timbers hosting the wild card match despite being the lower seed. And then Vanny Sartini, God can be a Timbers fan, but God doesn't exist for me.
Like, so power moves.
Love that weird Muppet guy.
I mean, not even involved in the game. Schmetzer in our press conference where they asked him about it said we would never lose 5-0 at home. Wow. In the playoffs. He said I watched it as a fan and I enjoyed it very much. It is Sounders related, but something we didn't talk about because we haven't had an episode is Schmetzer getting his 2-year deal. So let's make sure we talk about that for sure.
Yeah, that'll be a discussion for
at least a couple minutes. But it's been an interesting playoff so far. And were there any games tonight? No, I think we don't have game again until Friday.
That sounds right to me.
That's when the second legs start for
11-1 is LA. I'm looking at the west side.
That's Friday.
11-2 RSL and Minnesota, our game, and LAFC against Vancouver, their second match. We're on the same day.
Nice.
And then we got 11-1 for Orlando. And I, ever since you said it, Cameron, Clit, Charlotte, all right, explicit. And then Atlanta is on the second against Miami, and Miami's up 2-1. Cincy, New York City on 11-2 as well. So, 11-1 at Columbus, Red Bulls, and Red Bulls 11-3. So,
the only other news around the league is the Portland Timbers imploding after the 5-0 loss at home. where Evander went off on the front office, blaming them for the loss, and on Twitter. And then their front office had a press conference where they said Evander's mistaken and called out players saying they didn't try. Which even if that was true, I don't know why you're publicly doing that. Nope. What a mess there.
Because they are hot mess. That's the answer.
You love to see it,
though. And Evander wanted to leave last season. He wanted to leave. He's discontented there. And when things are not going their way, they just kind of take it out on each other. And it's really, really rough to see for all those Timber fans.
I am a little bit bummed because the Sounders' big off-season signing just got snapped up by Portland. Diego Chara has re-signed with the Portland Timbers.
What about Steve Clark?
Steve Clark may still be available. We'll find out. Yeah. I think it depends on if Houston advances or not.
there's actually a good Tim Discord regarding goalkeepers, and that one is mentioned, so we'll get to that later. One thing we should talk about that isn't Sounders related, but it kind of is. You weren't at the match, Nick.
I was not. I was watching from a flight. I had to get some Wi-Fi, 30,000 feet in the air. I was on my way to LA. Hey,
you lost after the first PK, right? What happened? How'd you get it back?
Yeah. So what happened was, with the Alaska Wi-Fi, you can only have one device connected at a time. So I originally was watching on my phone, and then at takeoff, and then I switched over to my laptop. But then literally after the first penalty kick, the stewardess came by, or the air host, I'm trying to remember what they like being called, the flight attendant.
You're dating back to when my mom was a flight attendant.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no. I just remember that there is a term that they prefer. I think it's flight attendant. But
my air waitress was like
my uncle's a flight attendant. Yeah.
Yeah. So the flight attendant came up and was like, "You need to put your laptop away." And I kind of look up at her and kind of point at like it's the penalty shield. So as I'm doing that, I'm like, okay, thank you, no problem. And I'm like quickly grabbing my phone and trying to load it up in it, while I'm slowly putting it away. And I missed the Raul kick, and I missed the second Houston kick while that was happening. So I was a little bummed about that, but yeah, so
you saw what matters.
Exactly. I mean, I saw Alex Roldan's epic mustache. Holy hell, that's gonna be
a
great Halloween costume.
His playoff mustache. I think he's keeping it.
Yeah, but
and by the way, just
flew in about an hour ago, so I'm back from LA.
And boy, are my arms tired.
They are tired. Did a lot of walking around Hollywood. I was at the David Gilmour concert at the Hollywood Bowl, which was amazing. Pink Floyd's guitarist, fantastic.
Does he have his own songs that aren't Pink Floyd?
Oh, yeah, and really good. He does a great duet on a song with his daughter. That is my favorite album song on the new album, Luck and Strange, but also played Wish You Were Here, Comfortably Numb, Time, a lot of Pink Floyd songs, a lot of his solo stuff, but more importantly, getting to hear his guitar work, which is just phenomenal. The only negative, 78,
you never know if he's coming back.
Exactly. And especially when on this tour, he only did four cities: Rome, London, New York, and LA. Last time he came to the States, I think he only did New York and LA as well. So, and that was 2016. So this time I was like, if I don't fly to go see him, I may miss my chance. And I did not want to do that. I did have to laugh though, because as I'm walking into the Hollywood Bowl, there's like a little placard that basically said, please be aware that lasers will be used during the show. And it's like, no shit. if you know anything about a Pink Floyd live show, yeah. Like, are you sure? But
there were floating pigs everywhere.
The only negative about the day yesterday was I kind of wanted to see what would happen if the Dodgers swept because I was in LA. And I was kind of curious to see how that would have played out as it stood. It was just a fun day. It was a fun day, fun trip.
Jealous. Welcome back, though. Glad it was fun. Glad you were safe.
I got to see Roger Waters before, but never David Gilmour.
Yeah, I've seen Roger when he did the Wall tour. I've seen Nick Mason, the drummer, who's done. He's got a band that he calls the Saucer Full of Secrets, where they do nothing but pre Dark Side of the Moon era Pink Floyd songs. So a lot of Sid Barrett era and psychedelic load. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've met Nick Mason before. He's a really just very cool guy. You both would really like him because he's huge into F1 and cars. He's an avid car collector. So I think both of you
introduce
would,
us.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, get on it.
But yeah, so this is number two on my list of musicians that I've never seen live before. So this is really important for me, and it was a great trip.
You bring up a good point, Nick, though. Did you watch the race real quick? I just want to know so I don't ruin that for you, too.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously me.
Okay, I just want to say Verstappen 20-second penalty. I love it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I know. Yep. Go Lando.
Anyway, sorry, Nick. Go back. You can, or Aaron, you had a question for Nick there. I just you brought it up, and I just wanted to make sure
we. It's more for both of you, and then maybe we can get to our scuttlebutt portion of the show. But does it count if I was in utero when my mom saw Pink Floyd live?
How long
for me to be there? Born? I was in utero.
Yeah, how long though before you were born?
Ooh. I'll have to ask. Meaning, well, what's the line?
I'm not sure. Yeah. Yes. The later, the more likely you would have heard it.
Yeah. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so. Here. Let me put it this way. Sonic's championship parade was 20 days before I was born. And so I forced myself out 9 weeks early because I thought we were a city of champions.
I mean, Roma was 4 days after we won MLS Cup 2019. Yeah. So good question there. And I'm a miracle baby. Literally was conceived the night the US beat the Russians on Miracle on Ice.
Oh. I met your dad. you're not a miracle.
Man, I was 9 weeks early and weighed 3 pounds, 4 ounces. I was a bigger miracle than you. No, you were a miracle on ice, baby. That's different.
There we go.
You should just say that. Because you're such a hockey love.
Yeah. So that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Lake Placid. Placid. What was that place?
You got it right. Placid.
It was Lake Placid.
Yes, it was. 1980. Lake Placid.
Was the alligator there?
That's what I was wondering. Wow. Shout out to great me. Film. I've watched 29 horror
I'll
movies
say,
this
yeah, month. Yeah, I was gonna say, weren't you up to Lake Placid 1, 2, and 3 on your list? I thought I saw a couple
of
those.
I watched all 4 Lake Placid.
There's 4
plus Lake Placid versus Anaconda. I did not watch the Lake Placid reboot yet. Lake Placid Legacy.
Is Betty White in all of them? Lake
Placid Legacy. No, she passed away sadly after the first one. But they have another older woman who comes in and plays her sister.
Wait,
she,
first one?
She didn't pass away. You're right. Because 20 years old. Another like 60 years. But
Aaron and I were both looking at each other like, wait a minute.
You're
wait.
Right. She left it. No, she did not come back. They had someone play her sister in the future in some of the later ones.
Betty White, national treasure.
I'm glad they kept that like. Yeah,
continuity.
Never mind. That whatever
legacy going.
Yeah, continuity is what I was looking for. Yeah, I'm glad they wrote a character
there. Yes.
All right. So, should we get to our Discord scuttlebutt?
Yeah. Let's do it,
and then we can get to the playoff match. Let me scroll up here. So, PSA, and I'm glad Tim asked, but I'm going to say it on the show anyway. If you join our Discord, and I kind of mentioned already, there's a mailbag, and then there's the Sounders Scuttlebutt channel. Sounders Scuttlebutt, whatever the hell you want, whenever you want. That's where the community talks. Mailbag, drop what you want us to talk about on the show. I love that there's responses from other listeners on there to other people's posts, but it makes it very difficult to try to read them, right? So that's why I'll heart them. so I can scroll back up and see a green heart. It's not that I like your comment or your question.
You might be stupid.
Which I do, but no, I want to find them. Those are the ones I want us to talk about. So that's why I'm doing that. So just a little PSA.
Showing how the sauces are made.
Yeah, explicit. Hey, which thread is for general chat? Which one's for, yeah, I know. So scroll up a little bit. We got Eric 13 for the next show. What is MLS going to do next year for us regarding the schedule? Leagues Cup has to get dropped, right? Question mark. And he goes through the, it looks like five bullet points of tournaments, as I guess is the right word, that we'll be a part of. So there's the spring CCL overlap, early summer Sounders and Club World Cup and CONCACAF Gold Cup at the same time, late summer Leagues Cup, fall scheduling chaos for us, Charlotte, Chicago, Atlanta, and San Diego with soccer or with football. You put a football icon, and somewhere to be determined, U.S. Open Cup. So that is a really congested, I mean, around the world, you have different ones. But
yeah, they're going to do like they do in other places and reschedule some MLS games, basically. They did that.
We're not going to get bye weeks. Yeah, we're not going to get bye weeks. Yeah.
We have games every week, yeah.
But given
they're not giving up Leagues Cup. Money.
Given that it'll be us and Miami, I wouldn't be surprised if the season starts a week or two earlier than normal. Wouldn't be surprised to try and give a little bit more of a gap there.
I mean, we're not guaranteed to be in Champions League, so that's number one.
We've got a good chance at it, but it's nothing guaranteed, as you said. Yes, there's a decent chance.
So we don't know if we will have those games, but yes, it's. It's a congested schedule, more congested than normal, though, other than the Club World Cup. So, I mean, they need to expand the rosters. MLS wants to be serious about this, that's what they need to do.
That's literally his like follow-up question, that are the rosters getting expanded? Because that could be a lot of games for us, regardless of if we end up in the CCL. So I think if it's more consistent that all the entire league is involved in this many tournaments, and then it would have to be a league-wide.
The only way it's happening is if Miami wants it. We'll put it that way.
that's fair.
Well, they're expanding it. It's not for us. It's for Miami.
Well, they've already adjusted the collective bargaining agreement once during this window without full ratification. They already made adjustments. It's kind
but
of
they
a
were player yeah. they were player beneficial because they exactly. allowed for. More spending on players, so they're not going to reject that. So that, I mean, they would have to expand give more TAM spots, like not literally, and expand the roster, add five TAM spots, expand the roster by five, boom, you're fixed.
Yeah, but it's just not going to happen that way, unfortunately.
It seems like it would be a lot more of the allowing the what do you call it? The bringing players up that without being on a first team contract, making that.
No, you know what they're going to do. It's going to be the same fuckery they tried to do before and make it so that we don't play in the U.S. Open Cup. That battle's not done. We're going to have that all over again this year. So get ready.
Agreed.
I don't want to be ready. Okay.
And Jordan, also, wait, real quick. I just want to kind of mention one thing that is important to know is. It's still not a done deal that the Club World Cup is going to happen.
I would assume it's going to happen until it doesn't.
I agree.
I think it's happening one way or another. If the European teams drop out, they will have it without them.
We'll see.
I mean, I could foresee if that happens, FIFA banning them from other tournaments, then fine.
There's going to be litigation. There's going to be, it's going to be.
But that's still, all way in the future.
But the draw is supposed to happen in July or in December. So
December.
So we'll see. Okay. So next
as a senior sales manager in Seattle for a hotel, I'm waiting for that drop because I cover the sports market. So obviously people will be sleeping in our city to go to those matches. And next one, Tim Hamilton, Jordan Morris is to PTFC as Oba is to scoring in the playoffs zero goals. That's not a question. That's why I didn't heart it. Sorry, Tim.
I mean, Jordan Morris is to not scoring as a number nine is to scoring. Jordan Morris hasn't done anything since a four-game stretch. And now he's hurt and not on the team. So Until we know whether or not he's playing, we can just assume he's not going to.
And what do you mean he's not on the team?
Well, I mean,
not playing.
He's not on the 18. Yeah. They don't have results back. They get the MRI back Friday. So we don't know for sure, but he's doubtful for game two.
Definitely. Yeah. So let me.
Raul starting, that means. So fun to see Raul out there.
Well, there's a question that pertains to that. All right. Is Alex Diaz. With Jordan Morris more than likely out for game two, can we see Rui Diaz start on Sunday, or will we go with the Moose?
Nope. Rui Diaz. Schmetzer already said it. If he's out, Rui Diaz is
starting. Oh, we did?
Yep.
Yeah, he said.
So,
yeah.
In the press conference. Yeah.
Copy that.
So we know Rui Diaz is starting probably no matter what. No matter what, but I would put 90-10. He's starting on Sunday.
I agree. Especially after the last match of the season.
Yeah, I mean, can put him in if you want Jordan Morris. If he's healthy enough to play, you can put him in the 18 and let him heal. And then if we don't need him, we don't need him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Rui Diaz came on, and granted, he didn't score, but he got his PK, which, I mean, didn't we all know that was going to be a Panenka?
Yes.
Why didn't Clark?
Because he's a bad goalie.
He was too busy tying his shoe.
Yeah, and trying to taunt the Seattle players.
Yeah, so anyway, I agree. Well. It should be Rui Diaz. He came in and immediately looked pretty dangerous.
He
knows how to play the role, obviously.
Right. The problem, we can talk about it more when we preview, but they don't know how to service him the ball anymore. So that's going to be something they're going to have to be working on this entire week, which is why I think he probably starts, because he's going to be the one out there that they're practicing with.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get more into that.
And the other side about that, never mind. We'll talk about that more during the preview. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the next one. Eric 13. So this is the thing. MLS considers a fall to spring schedule. What's y'all take? And he puts a link, New York Times. It's in our Discord, so if you want to jump on it. What are your thoughts on a fall to spring schedule?
Nope.
I do not like it. It would be after the 2026 World Cup would be the proposal. I'm not a fan of it. I can understand why they are thinking that's the way to go.
There's two reasons why they're thinking about it. Number one is you have the cities in the south complaining it's too hot to play here, which it is hot. 100 degrees with 100 degrees humidity is not good weather. But the other one is it makes transfers of high level players to the MLS more likely and cheaper, because you have more chance at free transfers. Right now, winter window, you don't have free transfers because no one's out of contract in the middle of the season, unless they're MLS players that have come overseas. So
there are a few other leagues that have interesting windows, but yes, we're not bringing in
people from the Polish league or some of these other leagues. The ones that we would be bringing in players do not. So those are the two reasons. But here's the thing. You can deal with it being hot. You can start games later. You can have water breaks. You know you can't deal with? When there's 3 feet of snow on the ground and people are dying in car accidents on the way to the stadium. When it's negative 40 degrees in Minnesota. It just doesn't make any sense. Although, why would you give up?
The proposal is using League's Cup in January to February, that time frame.
Then we're still hosting, playing.
I mean, just hosting those in like Southern city pods. I mean, because the term that already, I don't care.
So you're again screwing all the northern cities.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I'm just saying that.
Why would you not want to play in the summer in Vancouver, in Seattle, in Portland, in Salt Lake, in Colorado, in all these cities,
Toronto,
that have the best Montreal. Summers in the world? The northern part of the United States, that's where you want to be during the summer if you're in the world right now. Seattle has the greatest summers ever. I get why they want to do it. The negatives far outweigh the positives.
And wouldn't we be, as a league, competing with the same windows as the top leagues in the world when it comes to transfer.
Sure, but ultimately, if someone's coming here, that, I mean, we're already competing with them no matter what it is.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
The big thing becomes, okay, so they were saying, well, the playoffs are competing with NHL, Major League Baseball. Like right now in the summer, the only thing you're competing against is baseball. And baseball has 162 games. So someone can skip a baseball game to go to an MLS game. They're not skipping, you know, some of these other, like when there's less games to go to a MLS game necessarily. It just doesn't make sense. And then you're going up against, you know, you're going up more against American football. You're going up against the NBA. You know, we only run into the NBA for a little bit of the season, what, now through June. Same with hockey. The argument that it makes a better lineup against the other American sports, I think, is just wrong.
Yeah, it's really just baseball.
Yeah.
And NFL is easy to work around.
Yeah, although for some reason they played two games on Monday night and two games on Sunday night against the NFL and none on Friday and only one on Saturday. Like, what?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not, they're not perfect, right? Also, we know that.
A lot of that also revolves around stadium availability, and that's something that is done so far ahead of time, as we know from boat shows, car shows, motocross.
The big Seattle boat show.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody said
it. Sorry, Nick.
No, I mean, he's right. But you know, some of those soccer-specific stadiums don't have those issues necessarily, but especially in a cold place like RSL or wherever.
Okay, let's go. Let's see here.
So Cameron, one day, to recap, Cameron is against such a change. Aaron, where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I'm against it. I like it the way it is.
Yeah, I think I'm...
We don't need to be on the same as the rest of the world. Who cares?
No.
We have playoffs, and they're better than what the rest of the world does. If you're the second, third, fourth, fifth team sometimes in a league, you don't have any chance to win a championship because Manchester City has a million more points than anyone else. Now, there's nothing more exciting than playoffs. Playoffs?
Agreed. Nick, I presume this is consensus. You like the way it is?
I like the way it is. I'm open to hearing more, but I don't want to be going to games in January or December in Seattle.
I mean, I'd rather go then than February, if I'm being honest. I feel like it's colder in February, but yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No.
We already go to Seahawks games then. You think there's going to be availability? No.
Definitely.
You're going to have weeknight Christmas week games.
Let's see. Tim's got a few here. One of them actually is like four questions, and they're all pretty much related to the game. So I'll actually bring those up as questions we can talk about in the second half of the show. But one last one, I think this is kind of fun. One day we can break down the most it's Tim Hamilton, Muffin Top Model. One day we can break down the most hateable players by position, but for now let's focus on goalkeeper position. From a SSFC perspective, who are the most punchable goalkeepers over the years? And he lists some here. SKC Timmy, SKC Jimmy, PTFC Clark, Maxime, PTFC LA Galaxy, Donovan Ricketts, RSL Ochoa.
So he's looking at basically Tim Melia, Jimmy, blonde guy.
Nielsen.
Yeah, Jim Nielsen, Steve Clark, Maxime Crepeau, Donovan Ricketts, or is it David Ochoa for RSL?
Hey, who's he? Is he after? Oh, he's not. I think he's thinking.
No,
he's got to be thinking of the Dallas guy, right?
Nope, he's thinking of Ochoa. Why do we hate the RSL guy? I know why we hate him, but I'm thinking that I'm with you that Dallas's Jesse Gonzalez.
Jesse Gonzalez.
David Ochoa.
Yeah, no, for me, it's the two KC guys and Jesse Gonzalez. I don't even care about any of those other guys.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, Jesse Gonzalez is a piece of shit. And he's also.
That's the guy that choked Nuhu.
He's also the guy who his contact like more bull stuff, but he's also a domestic violence. And he got kicked out of the league for that. Goodbye. Bye. So screw that guy.
Yep. No, I, you know, both KC keepers I can't stand. I mean, we've had Steve Clark played it up, but I don't, he was hamming it up because that's what he does, right? Like, yeah, that's what you do as a keeper. I'm not that worried about that, as opposed to like guys that body slammed our players or choked our players, or I don't even remember who it was who stomped on Freddie Montero in the U.S. Open Cup final in Washington. I don't think it was Bill Hamid. I think it was the guy before him.
That's a callback. I can't remember, but I know exactly. I remember. I visually see it happening. I just don't know. I don't know his name.
That would have been. I'm actually looking it up real quick. Josh Wicks. 2009. Josh Wicks, which is a nobody.
I mean, he was a nobody. That's why I think it doesn't register. But
he did get a red card.
I mean, that's
for it.
One. He got a red card, and it helped us win the game. We were going to win anyways, but it was the nail in the coffin. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, he was done with DC United after that and just went outside the country after that. Finland and Sweden.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's those guys. Steve Clark, obviously, I'm pretty sure Steve Clark is the one that when – fans used to be a little less, I don't want to say less PC because that's not the right term. When they used to be bigger jerks, they chanted DUI at him when he was a struggling alcoholic. I'm pretty sure that was
Saunders.
No, Liam Ridgewell.
Definitely not Liam Ridgewell.
Wasn't Josh Saunders?
It was a Portland guy, but I don't know. Ridgewell's a defender, I thought. This was a goalie.
Yeah, Liam Ridgewell is a defender, but I specifically remember Josh Saunders getting that chant.
Yeah,
he went into rehab.
Yeah, it was such a. I mean, that's such a bummer to me.
Was it Josh Saunders? I know his last name was Saunders, but either way. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like the ones he listed. Yeah, and I would just say SKC in general, all their keepers. I don't remember ever enjoying a single player on their team.
Brett Evans.
Yeah, that doesn't.
But he never made an appearance on their team on their.
Oh really?
On the field
only for SKC too. I didn't mind Breck Shea at times. He was a little punk, but you could see that he had something that maybe the U.S. could have used. It just never worked out.
Yeah. Okay.
Breck Shea, well, am I right? Or am I thinking?
Breck Shea was a winger, and he.
Yeah, I mean, I know he played for Dallas and Orlando, but he played for them too, didn't he?
They had Breck Shea that was also on like those 2014 US national team. They also had who was his? The two of them were kind of side by side for so long.
He never played for KC. I wonder who it is. I'm thinking maybe because he played for Vancouver and I just see that jersey color in my head.
Also Orlando. I also all when I think of Breck Shea,
oh, yeah. he was Orlando.
Are you thinking of Graham Zuzzi?
The assault rifle.
Oh, Graham Zuzzi, you're right. I like Graham Zuzzi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him. I liked him. Okay.
He's the only one that I respected on those teams.
Matt Beasley.
I respect both of you guys, but I think we should carry this over to the second half of the show and end this conversation now. And I want to hear that promo again, Cameron.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Promo time. Diddle-diddle-doo, diddle-diddle-doo.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay. And we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And we're back. All right. Sounders, we have a win. We draw 0-0. We get a win. Another win in the playoffs where we don't score a goal in our history. It's fantastic. Jen, let's just start with Cameron, I'll go to you. Just overall, just general takeaways after the match. Your thoughts as you left.
I don't see how we're going to advance very far in the playoffs if we're going to play like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. No, I mean, that's you can add a few more.
Okay. Sentences. Yeah, I'll just say a few more. De La Vega's worst game as a Sounder. And I was upset that we did not save a sub to sub on Andrew Thomas because.
You like that idea. You like my idea on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, I thought about it too. Stephen Fry is 5 for 55 all time. Leading into that game was 5 for 55 saving penalties, and he's only had 2 saves, 2 for 23 in the last 8 years. You could always dive the same way, just dive right every time, and you would have the higher save percentage than he does. Granted, the one that missed, hit miss. I said the only way we're winning is if it misses. If they miss, not if it gets saved. Mm-hmm. I think he would have saved that one, though.
Yeah, that sucks for him, actually. I thought that right away. I was like, oh, he saved it, and then it went wide. I was like, he would have saved it. That was brutal.
Because he is terrible. He kept his foot back, but he's
terrible. Yeah, that was let's give some credit there because he's struggled with that in the past. Yep. It was really good there. I still hold true to my suggestion last week that, yes, I would like to consider the possibility of putting Andrew Thomas in for penalties. However, I understand the idea of riding with what you got. I understand it, and I don't see what happens on the training pitch. So my sample size is clearly less than the coaching staff sample size. Anything else you wanted to add about how you felt about the performance?
No, we can get more into it.
Okay. I felt like we controlled the game well. After the card, I felt like we were dictating things. However, our Achilles heel for forever has been when a team is specifically just playing for a 0-0 draw, like the low block and beating that. That's been an Achilles heel. I'm not as pessimistic as you are on that, but we got 19 shots. We were passing well.
We looked like we were a man down in a game where we had an extra player for the second straight time that we were up a man.
To me, that's the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, it's so frustrating.
Considering was it the 55th minute when that red card happened?
Is that something like that?
Is that about right? Yeah, I mean,
It's because we don't have a number 9. We don't have someone who can score, and if we're not getting contributions from Rothrock or De La Vega. Which I don't think it was De La Vega's fault. The weather was horrendous out there.
I was gonna say one of my bullet points here is just the weather.
The rain neutralizes people like De La Vega to make it so they can't be magical.
Yeah, the ball's slippery, and people are not usually in the same spot that you would expect them in dry conditions.
But you know,
that being said, it's tough for the other team as well, especially when they're a Houston-based team and we train in this weather. Yeah. So that's what made it more frustrating is like that this is not abnormal weather. I mean, it was a lot windier this last week and we had a few instances of like, that's a storm, but that was more notable in the Seahawks game than it was in the Sounders game. It was cold and wet
It felt colder though. This typical. Game, though. It was pretty cold. Like it wasn't as wet, but it was cold.
I think the wind. I think the general just consistent breeze that we've been having has made things seem a lot colder than it really is.
Yeah,
but it's still in the 40s and it's wet. That's just it's not fun. No. But you know, the Super Soft FC won the Shield in Pub League in torrential like hail, pretty much hailed for a few moments in our game. 3-2. We scored 3 goals and made it happen. This is a professional soccer team we're talking about.
I mean, Nicholas, this is something that I think about every pub league because throughout the lead up to the season, every pub league game, think about this, JP Nichols, who's one of the people who run it along with you, would always say, the Sounder scouts aren't here. Don't worry about that. Just get out there and have fun. And I'm like, yes, they are. You don't think Nick and I can just go straight up to our GM and be like, hey, do I have someone for you? So,
see how fast Aaron is?
Hey, we can. I would not be afraid to do that. But
you got to remember this. You do have to remember this. In a vacuum, it's easy to criticize. Oh, we can't do anything with the low block. We can't do that. We can't do that. Houston is one of only 3 teams who have allowed under 40 goals this season. Sounders being the other one, and Charlotte. So this is a very good defensive team. So you've got to take that into context. So to me, the way I'm seeing this game, getting 19 shots, controlling 87% of their passes, I'm seeing those as positives. Even with a red card, you still got to make those passes. So we're passing the ball well. We're not getting those final. And yes, that was De La Vega. That was a rough game for De La Vega, but
I'm not mad at him. It was just an observation.
But I think I don't want to put on the freaking out hat. I want context to be part of that, in my opinion. Well,
I agree. I'm not at
I don't think Cameron's freaking out.
Yeah, right? I'm more like we've seen this before. It's frustrating because how have we not figured this out yet? You know, it's like, didn't we have something like 220 something penalty kick or corner kicks this year? And yet we're the worst team in the league on
that percentage.
I think we completed because, 2.
Well, looking at the stats for this match, I think we dominated. I think it was 8. Let me check. 8 corners, right? In this match as well. I mean, and then count, I don't know any set pieces that were in dangerous spots. I don't know the number. But with a Reagan and a Yamar and even Jordan, really, like
Reagan should be call for some reason.
He needs to.
I know.
Well, like
I mean, we've been through this though. I don't know. Even the guy who sits behind me, who's close friends with Schmetzer, was like, I tell him, like, why isn't Reagan heading the ball? He texts him after every game. And it's like, why the hell did you do that? So it's really nice to have him there so I can tell him what to text Schmetzer.
I mean, the thing is in this format, as the away team, a lot of times you're disincentivized to be super aggressive because it goes to penalties. You're trying to get that's your goal is to get it to 0-0 penalty shootout. You know, that's kind of
I don't know what they showed on TV, but Steve Clark acted like they had won the game.
Oh, he was acting like a jackass when the game ended. Yeah, they're showing that on TV.
Yeah, he jumped up and down. He was running. Everyone was celebrating. They acted like they had just won the game because they knew they were going to win in penalties.
Well, you know what? That be careful what you wish for, Stevie, because the reality is I think that was a really good example of a difference between a team that has been there before and knows how to control their emotions in the moment and a team that, you know, teenage boy having sex for the first time.
Blew his load early.
Jesus. I hit explicit, right?
No, I mean, for me, it's frustrating.
That's not explicit. Explicit would be saying, when he slowly
talking about teenage boy. That's enough.
I think for me, it's that we've been here before and we still can't figure it out. I mean, here's a team. We're coming into this game. We had 13 wins, 0 losses, and 3 ties all time at Lumen Field. We had never lost a game. Now, I don't know. Or did we have 14? Because last night, I think, counts as a draw, not as a win, right?
As does the Portland car show game, which we were eliminated, that was a draw.
Yeah, so we must have been 14-0-2 at all time heading into that game.
Now, as was the RSL game where we lost 0-0, where RSL did not get a single shot, let alone a shot on goal.
Yeah, sure.
But 0.00 expected goals.
In Houston, we're 19-6-8 all time, but overall, we're 19-6-8 all time, which makes us 5-6-5 all time.
But most of those five are in the last like 3 years, because it took a long time for us to get our first win in Houston.
If you'd let me talk instead of getting me off, going to frame it in a positive way. They haven't beaten us in quite some time there. We have dominated them over the last, I think it's 14 to 16 games. We have not lost to them overall. Okay. So we have figured out how to beat them in Houston. The only thing I'm worried about going forward is no Jordan Morris. So I think, as frustrated as I was with this game, we're still winning the series. They're not coming in and taking game three from us if we need it. In fact, I think we're going to win that game too there. So,
yeah, I hope so. I think, do you think that we play a similar style as Houston did on the road?
God, I hope not.
I don't think so. I mean,
Diaz. I mean, it's not going to be raining there, hopefully. Usury Diaz, use De La Vega, use Paul Rothrock, get in there, score 4 goals, get out of there 4-1. And they're without their best player because he's a dumbass who punched one of our players in the face.
Hey, what happened? Okay, so the TV broadcast, all of a sudden you see Reagan go flying to the ground. They never were able to figure out what happened. Does anyone know?
They never showed it.
So before that, I think it was before that, because I thought it was Alex Roldan. I could be wrong. This could have been Reagan, but there was this fight expended for a while. One of our players picked up the ball and had his back to 20 and wasn't giving him the ball. And there he came over, tried to grab it from behind, and then tackled our player and shoved him to the ground. And that's what led to the fight.
Okay. And then when the cameras got to it, Reagan was on the ground with the ball, like by his.
Okay. Cause then Reagan got pushed down again later, but Reagan got a yellow card for that, which I think is stupid to get a yellow card. And that's like, he didn't do anything.
Well, if he was delaying the restart, he might've gotten the yellow for delaying the restart.
But the referee, that wasn't the case, because the referee was over here talking to other people. It actually happened off to the right, away from the referee. They were not trying to restart it. The referee was dealing with what was happening. So he shouldn't have got the yellow for that.
Well, I mean, he's got an earpiece in. So what I assumed was Reagan was, holding the ball. I just didn't. All I could see was him laying on the ground.
He got tackled from behind. Yeah. He got shoved down and then tackled. And the guys are fighting with them.
So
guy gets up and punches one of our players.
He didn't punch him. Honestly,
he swung. He swung.
No, he didn't.
He swung like this twice.
No,
he
didn't.
Swung twice. Yes, he did.
He ended up
slapping
him
because he's a little bitch, but he swung twice.
He shoved Rusnak into the chin with his hand, open palm, straight arm. That's what happened.
He did, but he had two swings. Because he came back for a second.
I mean, there's plenty of flailing, and it was all much
about
nothing.
You don't,
in my opinion, but if the red card was warranted by the rules. I think it was. It wasn't like
he should have got a red card for tackling Reagan already. That's what pissed me off.
I thought it was fair. I just Nick was saying is like we on the TV broadcast could not see what was happening because the camera was.
It drives me crazy because Houston.
On Uncle.
I feel like this is such a Houston thing. Their players are just, I mean, remember that time their goalie, I think it was the first or second year that we were in the playoffs ever. Their goalie punched Freddie. He grabbed Freddie in the face and threw him down. And they never even gave him a card. Like
that was back in the old MLS days. Wild, wild west. Well, add that guy to the list.
Houston.
The goalkeeper list. Let's see. Tim had a point that I wanted to actually talk about. Tim Hamilton, I should stop saying just Tim because we know who he is. Did or did not the game get more exciting after J-Mo subbed off?
It was nice to see Raul have the energy of just getting back on the field and playing with fire because you know he had a point to prove.
I agree, but I also think that was also because Houston started to bunker down more and more.
Of course.
And I think we were not goal dangerous really in most of that time because we were kicking it over people's heads. But yeah, it was exciting.
When was that sub? I'm going to look it up real quick because
I think it was like an 80 something, 78, 80, 85, somewhere in there. I mean, it was,
we brought on Raul. 52nd minute for Raul. Jordan.
Oh, was the injury Raul that early?
Yep. Yeah. Wow. It was 52nd with Manungo.
So it was before, it was a few minutes before the red card.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I looked up, that was sick. I said 55th earlier. It was another double number. 66th is when the red card happened.
So I think there was a
The red card happened at the 61st minute, but with all the replay.
I mean, I think it was exciting initially because he was stretching the field a little bit. Jordan was not running at the defense, but Raul immediately was stretching the field.
Do you think that maybe Jordan had tweaked something earlier, or because of the rain, he was feeling something weird in the hamstrings, and he didn't want to, and he did what he was trying not to do?
I don't think, because he wasn't doing it last week either. He was on, and when they moved to the wing and he had all those, he was not the way Georgie runs down the right. He was refusing to make runs on the right. So I don't know why he wasn't doing it. He didn't want to do it last game though against Portland either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay.
Manungo though came in at the same time, and I think that had also made it exciting because he is a very flashy player, but he is kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah, they shut him down. They did what I would do. I think they showed the MLS what you do to shut him down.
Well, and the thing is with that, I'm tired of our plan is just to force him the ball on the right and just see if he does something and then swings the ball in, right? I think that needs to happen more organically in the flow of play, and because I think that would defense was
compelled. I don't think it had to do with him. And then I'll let you say what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I think it had to do with the fact that Nuhu was on the field, because the moment they put on Reed Baker-Whiting for Nuhu, everything switched to the left. They don't want Nuhu going forward because he's terrible going forward. And so I think they go to the right because Nuhu's on the left. They were refusing to pass. Nuhu would go on runs and they would turn away from him and go back to the right. They do not want to give Nuhu. Eventually he got a couple up there eventually, but you can't not pass it to him 20 times in a row.
Yeah, but, I mean, he had some good.
Georgie would run up, and where he would usually beat them in a pass, they would block him off, and he would just have to pass it back to the corner.
But it's still in the box, though. That's creating dangerous.
I think it's dangerous.
Yeah,
sure, I agree, but I just think they figured out. But then you have to reset, right? So they figured out how to make him have to reset, and I think every team will do that from now on. So he's got to get good at what he's doing.
Wait. I'm going to stop you there because I think he's doing fine. Let me just kind of read off a few things for you from this game. 41 touches, 5 in the opposition box. Okay, so that right there is okay. That's pretty good. 5 for 5 on successful dribbles, 100%. 2 for 4 on accurate crosses. So he's doing different things to get that ball across. 2 for 4 on accurate crosses. No dispossessions. He was 7 for 7 on ground duels won and was fouled twice. I'll take that every time
absolutely. So I just think that what they did is because I think they first, those crosses were the first two. And then after that, they would not let him get another cross off. Okay. Now, the reason why his ground passes were so great is because you had Christian right behind him ready to get the ball, like at the corner of the box there, which was perfect because then it set up other people to go on runs, especially Raul. So we were still goal dangerous. So it's not, my point was just that they figured out how to stop him from getting those crosses in.
I think that Raul up top with Manungo would actually, Raul knows how to make the savvy runs and also is substantially better at his technical ability than Jordan Morris, which you'll need in those tight spaces in the attacking third if he's not able to get a cross off and has to kind of almost recycle it. But if he's making those runs and Christian's there and available and he can make those passes and Rusnak, we know, can make those passes, I think we might start to see something there. But it was frustrating to just also know as a viewer exactly what the Sounders were about to do, which was just keep recycling down the road. It wasn't fun to watch, regardless of the stats that Nick just mentioned. Yes, those are good, but nothing else was happening. until, and I didn't think about it until you said it, Cameron, Reed Baker Whiting came on, yep. and that did spread it out a little bit.
And then they could choose which side they wanted to go on, which I think is what makes this dangerous, is when you're going to both sides, you don't know which side's going to get it. You can go on runs, you can reset it, you can cross it, you can send it to the top of the box, and they can send it either direction. I think they needed to get Rusnak more involved with that. They needed
definitely.
I got a question for you.
Because the other thing you got to keep in mind is, so taking a look at the team stats, in the limited minutes that Manungu had, he had three chances created. No other Sounder had more than two. So in his 38 minutes, he had more chances created than everyone else on the field.
Sure.
So, well, and there were 41 times they were getting in the ball to try to make chances, to be honest. So
all of that being said, though, I'm still starting De La Vega over him 100%.
Oh, hey, I am as well. But what I'm getting at is I feel like it might be an oversimplification saying that the only thing he does is goes to the corner and tries to burn them around. He goes for that, but he's also finding other opportunities. I'd like to kind of maybe rewatch a little bit of that and take a closer look at that. But I think he's doing a little more than I think you're giving him credit for. And I just want to kind of maybe open your eyes and go, okay, maybe I am missing something else.
No, but I don't think that he's doing the same thing. It's that the Sounders are doing the same. They're going to that side every single time.
It's predictable.
And it's predictable. And so it doesn't put him in a place.
Organically happening, unlocking. Yeah, it's
well, that's been...
It's running it up the A gap every single thing, time.
And, where you're always stand to the... It's constantly... heavy to the non-new who side. So I think you might be right there. With that said, I do like Manungu's physicality of being able to make those plays and scare the hell out of those Houston defenders.
No, and I like the potential of Manungu. I do. Certainly with another offseason too, add some more tricks to the bag and maybe a little bit more off the ball movement to get himself. Because I'm not seeing him cut and making any runs to get a through ball down the gut. I'm not seeing any of that. And he's got speed, right?
Yeah, but has he been? We don't know if he's been asked to do that, I think, at this point.
Exactly. I'm not saying
he's going to do that next game. Yeah, that's a good question. Like,
I'm saying add more, through the offseason, through some more training. I mean, he's a young player just in general. But, yeah, I'm excited about him. I'm not dogging on him being on the field. I want him coming on 30 minutes left, 15 minutes left because of what he's capable of doing. But I want to see the Sounders be able to have more than, one.
I think even if we're winning, you bring him on because he can stretch the field in a way that makes it so that he can just, I mean, sometimes I'm like, just take it to the corner and waste that time. Not in this game, but that's what I wanted in the.
I can imagine he'd be a headache to try to win the ball back from the corner just because he can't move him. Question for you. Was it a handball?
Initial thought, yes. And this one's a little tough because I was watching on an airplane feed, so it wasn't high def, so it kind of dropped down to like 480, 360p. I can
1064p.
Whatever, yeah. I could see it would have felt hard done if our team was called for that handball.
What was it? Did it hit his hand? Yes. Was it a handball? No. His hand was in a natural position.
It's the call I would have liked to have seen in the US Open Cup against LAFC, where we didn't get that. Like that's how it should have been called then. And that's how it should have been called last night or the other night. And they got it right this time. It didn't happen for us in US Open Cup. And that's soccer. So I'm not angry about that.
They spent all that time though, real quick, just before you change from it, they spent all that time trying to figure it out, and that's when Raul was sitting there ready to take a PK and Clark started messing with him, so I think they were trying to get in each other's heads at that point, so I wonder how much that played into the later penalty
kicks. Man, I mean, it's playoffs, they're gonna do anything you can to get an advantage for sure. And it's that complex there, and that's part of the fun of it. And speaking of which, now that segues perfectly into what I was just about to ask. What I enjoyed seeing And I'm really disappointed that I'm not going to be able to see it live, because if it does go to a game three, I won't be able to make that game either, because I'll be going to a show. On TV, it was really entertaining.
That'll be on your tombstone. Going to another show.
I'm not really in this grave. I'm on my way to another show. Rothrock and Dorsey battling, especially in that first half, was just the two of them. I would have liked to have just been able to have been at the game and just focused on the two of them battling, because it looked like they were just, you know, going at it in a good way, and like in just a really competitive.
You could tell from both their expressions and the reactions that there was a professional, like, I'm enjoying this.
That's so fascinating.
We're having fun.
Because that was in front of me, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
I would say the entire match.
Well, that because they were probably focusing it on the TV, whereas I'm watching everything going on. I was focusing on De La Vega and the struggles he was having across the field, and our inability to move the ball around in a meaningful way. There were a few times, like there was one time where Rothrock basically got tackled in the box and they on a corner and they didn't call it. There's stuff like that that was frustrating to me, but I did not notice that they had an ongoing battle. That's so interesting.
Yeah, like
I mean, I had 72-inch 4K, so they were on.
But I mean, he was live right in front of me. He was right in front of me. That's where he plays that first half. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, like they were, I enjoyed it. They were jawing. They were, it was really, it came through really fun on the broadcast.
I mean, he's become a menace, Rothrock, to other teams.
I love it. I was going to say, watching this match, I've liked Rothrock, but I haven't had much, like, I feel like this is a little bit more flash in the pan than it is a long-term, this guy's going to be really good for us.
Well, we keep waiting for the shoe to drop, but when's it dropping?
Exactly. And after this, I mean,
I think it could drop next season, though, because I think we might bring in a player to replace him. He's going to be bad. I think we'll sign a DP for that spot. But
I still think he has a ceiling, and I don't think that ceiling is going to be higher than a DP.
100%. But then okay. How are you going to feel with a Rothrock being an option off the bench when someone's injured versus, say, historically, a Harry Ship,
a Leo Chu,
a Kellen Rowe, all players that I would love. But if he's playing at that level and coming off the bench, I mean, that's just the thing. We keep upgrading our positions. Yep. That's the evolution of our team, and that's a great thing.
Since you brought him up, shout out Kellen Rowe. He is absolutely killing it on the pre- and post-game show. It's in there with Jackson Feltz, doing an amazing job. Such an asset for the club.
And that's Pub League legend, Kellen Rowe. He's been a longtime sponsor of Pub League with his wine company, Vino FC.
Hey, there's our kit sponsor.
Let's go. Come on, Kellen. I know you want in. But with all that said, it is good to see. It's good to see that energy. It's good to see that fire. I hope to see more of it in Houston.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
I have the weather report.
Yeah. I looked it up last week, but obviously it could have changed since then.
So Friday and Thursday, next Thursday. So that doesn't matter. But here's the context. Those are the only 2 days there's even some sun. We have thunderstorms right now. We have torrential rain on Saturday. We have standard Houston rain on Sunday and Monday. It's going to be wet. It's going to be wet and warm, but it's going to be wet. And it's
weren't
going to
be you just
grass.
Saying it doesn't get grass. Wet there, Cameron, just a few minutes ago? Weren't you just talking about how dry
it's
it is?
Not the
in
summer.
Houston?
It's not the summer
right now.
Okay. This is typical. I have family they don't live there anymore, but they have family in Galveston. And yeah, the fall is just the wettest, grossest, loudest weather you can think of for that part.
But I mean, the football shite of the world. Night.
Yeah.
So this will be, I think, a mess of a match. And how do you think I don't think Jordan should even touch the field. If he's even
only if we're losing.
Soft tissue injury
stuff. Not even if we're losing. If he's tested negative,
I don't think he should travel.
If he tests negative and is fine and just a little sore, I'm fine with him going. But if he has any injury at all, yes, I agree with you. Don't bring him.
Get him rehabbed. His dad's a doctor, even though he's not the doctor anymore. He's dead. Like, just keep him home and let's try to get a result there, and that'll get us through. Yeah. Because
I think we got a lot of work to do to get Rui Diaz acclimated to being at the top with our players. I mean, they're doing it already, right? He's been in practice. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're not, but we've got to figure out something else to do rather than crosses on the line across the box, because that's not how you're going to get Rui Diaz to score. Mm-hmm. Not always. He does sometimes, but not always. So I think we have to figure out a game plan that works. I think we're perfectly capable of beating them, though, without Jordan Morris, especially since they don't have number 20. I can't
say it. What is it?
Kirkurio? It is too many R's and
L's. Karaskia.
Yeah. It's almost Italian sounding. Yeah, I switched from Duolingo from Spanish back to French now, since I don't have to speak Spanish anymore. So back to what my degree is in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea how this match is going to go. And I am frustrated that, I don't know. I feel like we need Will Bruin again, a player like that.
Yeah, we do. We have no one right now. Target
forward with Raul. We like, that's what I think we need to elongate. So much focus has been on our midfield and then our defense, and then hoping something happens forward. But
all I'm going to say, and Nick, I'd like your thoughts on this. All those people that wanted us to get rid of cut Nuhu over the summer, or sorry, I got ahead of myself because I got kind of excited at the idea of having a different person at that position. Let me back up. All those people that wanted us to cut Rui Diaz over the summer, not knowing whether or not any part of his contract is guaranteed, thus not knowing whether or not it would clear up any cap space. Where are we without him now? Danny Masofsky at the top? I love Danny. Danny is a great human being. I got to spend time with him. He is one of the nicest people I have ever met in my life. But he's not the answer right now. We would have no forward right now if we had, because it's not like we were bringing in a DP forward. We would have been a DP winger because that's what we were trying to sign. So we would have no forward right now and we would be screwed.
Bradilio. No experience. I mean,
but is he healthy? Is he still on the team?
I mean, I don't know that.
He's not on the injury report, so I'm assuming he's healthy. He's
a good guy too.
He's a good guy too. I got to talk to him a little bit, but I just don't know what we would do. Like, this is a chance. If Rui Diaz had gotten that penalty in regulation and been able to score, and that was the game winner, and the way that would have been the perfect send off, and what could have been the final home game ever. For him, because we may not have another, even if we go to the MLS Cup, we may not have another home game.
I mean, if we lose this match, we'll be having
another then we'll game. Have another home
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But outside You're of right. hosting the MLS Cup final, which would have to be one of the bottom four seeds in the East, we will not play another home game, which is why we're going to play at Miami for the MLS Cup. But still, that could have been his final home game. So I'm so happy with the penalty kicks, though. Talk about the best five penalty kicks we've ever seen from Sounders.
The first time on multiple occasions. Fortunately, I had an empty seat next to me. Thank God I had an empty seat next to me, because I'm punching the air. I'm like, oh, you know, and kind of really like shaking. And people anyone who saw me making gestures would just look down at what I was seeing and would have instantly known what was happening. Yeah. But yeah.
The first time the Sounders have won a penalty shootout at Lumen Field in the MLS era. I was at the last time.
No fucking way.
Yep. I was at the last time. It was USL days. So this is the first time in the MLS years they have won a penalty shootout.
We've been in the playoffs for all but one season, and we've had one penalty shootout we've won.
Yep. And that's because crazy. We lost to Portland twice. We lost to some RSL. Other teams. RSL. So we don't need to think about those. The other key point is this was the first time the penalty shootout that I've ever seen was not towards the Broman. It was towards the Hawk Nest.
I was thinking about that.
Houston won the toss. Yeah.
Yep. And they didn't want to go against the fans. And guess what? I don't think they understand that that's the windy side. I don't know if that played a factor, but when you're the Seahawks, that's the side you don't want to be kicking the field goals, because that's the side that the ball is going to go wacky and go wherever you don't know. Yeah. So, first time we've ever won, first time it went that direction. I think we got to go that direction from now on to keep this streak going.
Sample size. I'm going to say no on that, but I'm being sample selfish. Size.
We have one win and like five losses.
Yeah. I stand by what I say. With that said, Jackson Reagan, if you recall, when he was first kind of playing with Defiance, like, who's the center back that's taking these? Oh, never mind. I'm confusing Reagan with A.B. Sissoko.
Yeah.
I was so mad last year when he wasn't left on the roster to be subbed in for penalties.
But Reagan's kick reminded me of Sissoko. Sissoko.
And Christian, to get that penalty, which was that his first penalty he's taken since the one he missed for the USA? I wonder if that is, because that. Remember how he just kind of barely touched the one in the USA and it was so awful? Yeah. For him to nail that with no goalie in the world is stopping that kick. Yeah.
No. I thought it hit the post. Loved it. And he somehow roofed it up under the post where it was still going up. It was what a shot. What a shot. It reminded me of Jovan Jones in the MLS Cup.
It was 10 out of 10. It was that is what you teach. That is how you do take a PK.
And then Alex, of course, was like, I'm going to do the same thing. Not quite as good, but like 98% as good.
He did the little brother version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Of course, I love Raul, just his technique. It's sexy to look at. And I don't know how Clark didn't know that was, I think Raul's only taken Panenkas. I don't think I've ever seen him.
I get it.
So it was so fun, the ending. That's why, like, I was so frustrated with the game. The ending was so fun and a shock, because, like I said, I expected us to lose at that point, considering Fry's numbers on penalties. Mm-hmm. So for us to win that way and to win that decisively, because none of those penalties were getting stopped. So that makes me think.
I think Reagan's was maybe the only one that was like kind of a 7 out of 10.
He still wasn't getting stopped.
Yeah.
And he got messed with too, because Fry didn't leave the field. And if you watch, I watched the replay today. He didn't leave the field on other times. I don't know if they talked about that on the broadcast, but Fry was standing in the corner, like on the field, and he's not allowed to do that. He has to be off the field. And Steve Clark reported him and the ref moved him off. So, Reagan had to start that whole thing over again.
They mentioned the frame of shot was not on Stephen Fry, but
they mentioned the penalty before, that was also the case, that Fry was on the field, not as far, but you can't be on the field. So I don't know if that was
Fry's him. Just so bad at penalties. He can't even when he's not in goal, he just can't get on the line.
So we win the game. We're headed to Houston. We're missing Jordan, but we're having Raul. What do you think is going to happen there? Win, loss, penalties, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a draw. I think more goals will be scored. I think it'll be a messy game, but sometimes that does result in...
No, he's playing in Miami.
Productivity.
It took me a minute.
I'm not proud.
Yeah, I think it'll be a draw, and it'll go to penalties again. But I think there'll be actual goals scored. I don't think there's going to be any continuity in this match for either side. I think it'll be a draw. Probably 2-2.
Nick, what are you thinking?
I disagree. These two teams are too strong defensively. It's going to be a 1-0. It's not going to be pretty. No, I'm sorry. It's going to be 1-0 late, but Houston's going to be playing for their lives. They're going to play really desperate. It's going to open to a counterattack. We'll get a late 1-2.
Wow, that would be amazing, because I said it before this last game, and I wasn't thinking about penalties. I said, we're not winning in regulation. is what I revised it to once I thought of penalties. We're not winning in regulation unless we score two goals. And I think that's the case again. So I think if we're one goal up, that's, we're either going to go to penalties or we're going to go, we're either winning 2-0 or 1-1. I think we either give up that goal or late, or we get that. And I hope Nick's right. We get that 2-0 win. So I'm going to go with 1-1 to penalties, and we're going to lose it. And it's going to come back to Seattle, where we do not lose to Houston, and we'll finish the series there.
And that would put Stephen Fry as the all-time MLS leader in shutouts in postseason play.
Wow.
He's currently at 14, and there is one goalie above him at 15.
Who's that? I guess I think
Raimondo. That's my guess.
No, no, yeah, no. Raimondo's really? No, it's not Raimondo. It's not Raimondo. Oh my God, I'm trying to remember his name. I can't come up with it right now. Kevin Hartman.
We don't have the money.
Kevin Hartman.
Oh. Okay, good. You had like one more.
I know.
I didn't like him either.
Kevin Hartman. Ew.
Yeah.
All right. Good show. Hour and a half, pretty much.
Yep.
Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you.
To the Pacific Northwest.
Get some rest. Oh, no, you're not. You're going to go play video games now, aren't you?
Well, yes, but I also fly to Vegas on Friday for the Eagles at the Sphere. So
God,
it's
damn it, Nick.
Gonna be a
wait. But you're not going to that show, right?
Correct. I bought that ticket for my wife because Pink Floyd is my family band, so that's why I went to LA to see David Gilmour. The Eagles were her family band, and she was like, "Hey, have fun in LA." 2 weeks later, the Eagles announced their Sphere residency, and I'm like, "Hey, you." I appreciate you for being so supportive of me wanting to go to that show. Would you like to go see the Eagles at the Sphere with your brother? And so they're going, and then she just found a great flight and hotel deal for all three of us. So we're just gonna go.
And you get to go sip. The weather does get kind of crappy, but not usually for another month or so in or 3 weeks in Vegas. So you might get a little sun and a little pool time.
I mean, I was walking around Hollywood all day yesterday. I'm doing great weather wise. It's going to be, it's what I need right now because I need a little vitamin D.
Yeah. I got some vitamin D for you right here. Yeah, boy.
I was going to say, here comes the explicit again. Hey, at least you're of age, Cameron.
That was not me who said that before.
I know. I'm just saying, on behalf of the show, at least we are, you know,
18 and 19 teenagers. 18 and 19 are teenagers.
Shut up. I shouldn't have brought it back up.
You're right. You're right.
Anyway,
I'm going to go watch a horror movie, gentlemen.
I'm going to edit this show and then go to bed. Super exciting.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, by the time we do the next show, it'll be up almost our birthday weekend.
I know. Yeah. We gotta have a super soft party.
And we need something from our listeners. Not just joining the Patreon. Of course, do that. Not just subscribing and giving us reviews. Come on, you can at least do that. It's free. It helps us. It gets us higher in the algorithms. Please go give us 5 stars wherever you listen. But we have our 100th episode coming up soon. We're getting closer and closer. Perhaps if we keep
94, right?
Yeah, if we keep winning, we will be there before maybe for the MLS Cup final.
Oh my God, that'd be cool.
I think the timing would be right before, right after, if the math is mathing out right. So think about what we should be doing for 100th episode. Give us ideas in the Discord.
Yeah, that would be really serendipitous.
It would now,
or if the 100th show is the show we would do after winning the MLS Cup,
yeah.
Oh, that's a live show.
Beating Messi.
That would be a huge miss.
Yeah.
If we don't do
absolutely
at Flatstick or something like that. Yeah.
So Nicholas, where can they find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, come join me on Twitter at Nikita Banana. Come join me on Instagram at Cascades2C. Yeah. What about you, Aaron?
I'm on Twitter X, Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley. I've had a few followers last week, and even though I'm not really active on that, which makes me feel like I should start because people want to hear what I'm saying.
It's because you can't go on there until after you've watched whatever sporting event you're waiting to
watch. That's quite literally it. I mean, I poop just like everybody else, and I look at social media while I poop. So I'm usually just going on Reddit. And I don't follow any sports on Reddit because that's just like,
oh man. And it's not
anyway.
It's not like once baseball's done, you can go, okay, I can do that now because you're a Lakers fan and they play every other day. So now you're going to be stuck.
And they're always on TV because they're the Lakers and
this
Bronny.
This is what we
Bron,
have to
yeah.
deal with, people. This is because he has to watch everything, not live, but he has to watch it time shifted instead of just going, well, I can't watch it.
Because I want to feel like it's live to me. But I live my life the way I want to live my life. Okay?
So if anyone wants to buy him a time turner from the magical wizarding world of Harry Potter, he promises not to do anything nefarious with it.
I mean, he is a
wizard.
What's the little Muggle? Weasel house? What's
Weasley? No,
the Hufflepuff. No, he's a.
Are you calling me a Hufflepuff?
The Weasleys are Gryffindor.
No, I know who Ron Weasley is. What's the one that isn't Slytherin? What's the other one?
Hufflepuff, Gryffindor,
Hufflepuff, nope. Slytherindor.
We mentioned three. What's that fourth one?
Ravenclaw.
What? Ravenclaw. You're Ravenclaw.
Oh, that sounds cool. I'm good
with
that.
You're not cute like a Hufflepuff. You're not like.
No, you're thinking of Jigglypuff. You're thinking of Jigglypuff.
I do love Jigglypuff.
See, I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
Anyway, hey, by the way, you mentioned reviews, so I was like, oh, let me see if we got any new ones on Apple because that's the only one you can actually leave a review. Mm. And we don't have any new reviews, so actually go on there because they're fun to read, and I will. Ricky Rocket the second.
Oh yeah, Ricky
from
Rocket.
May 11th was the last one.
Leave one, we'll read them live on the air.
Yeah, yeah. But however, who are the bastards that gave us a 1 and a 2-star? Who does 2-star?
Oh, the 2-star is new.
No comment.
The 1-star we've had. The 2-star is new.
But a 2-star review? Who thinks that deeply into? It's not a 1. It's not quite a 3. This is a 2.
Interesting.
Show. And just leaves it without saying anything.
We know who left.
I mean, it could just be
give us a 5-star, but then give us constructive criticism. Well, then leave
drop
us some
a deuce.
Constructive criticism.
He dropped a deuce. That's all.
It might just be a Dempsey fan. Might just be a Dempsey fan who's honoring Dempsey by giving.
Or
they're
we
honoring
have 2
the number of stars we have. That's exactly right.
I said it first.
Yeah,
I know. You know. I said it first.
That's
good.
I'll
give
you credit. That's fascinating. Or it could be Nicholas's ex getting even with us.
I mean, if we were gonna bet on an ex getting even with someone on this show, it's probably Cameron.
Only because I've had more. Because you all went and got married, and I'm over here like. Ah. Yeah, well.
By the way, Roma loves her pumpkin bag. Thank you so much.
Yes.
You're the best uncle, even though you're not her real uncle.
You know what? Family isn't about blood. Family is about who's there for you.
Oh, exactly. So come be there for us on Patreon and Discord. And Cameron, where can they find you?
At Legal Minded Punk on wherever the internet is.
Wherever it's everywhere, baby.
I know.
All right,
so
James.
All of them, including Xbox.
Yeah, and that's where Nick's going to go. And I might go there after I edit.
I wish he
were.
Maybe he's
PlayStation.
Going to
PlayStation. Yeah, PlayStation. That's okay.
Do you have an Android phone?
I do.
Of course you do. All right, James, take it away.
He's smart.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.